Hello, everyone. Welcome to You, Me, Them, Everybody. My name is Brandon Weatherby. This episode was recorded on Friday, November 3rd at the Wonderland Ballroom in Washington, D.C. I cut the monologue and some other stuff. It doesn't sound that great, so it's a really short episode with Grance and Michelle and Allison. It's those are very fun people, and I'm glad to talk to them on Friday, December 1st, 2017, we'll be recording our 9-year anniversary show at the Wonderland Ballroom in Washington, D.C., along with the Washington Post's Alexandra Petrie. She was just on Forbes 30 Under 30 list. In addition to Alexandra, we'll have Kevin Titt, who's been on the show before, is a very fun gentleman, Haywood Turnipseed Jr., and Cinema Hearts' Caroline Weinroth. Allison Lane will also be there. Once again, that's You, Me, Them, Everybody Live, 9-year anniversary show this Friday at the Wonderland Ballroom. Without further ado, here's You, Me, Them, Everybody Live, recorded on November 3rd, 2017.
Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Allison Lane, everybody. Allison.
Do you like my paper guitar?
No, I do not.
Okay, that's great.
It's a Halloween
one. Glad I wore that shit. No, it was a gift from our wonderful bartender, Bennett. Thanks, tip him. Hi, everybody.
The last time we talked... You were sort of, kind of, in a relationship still.
I was.
How's that going?
It's not.
Okay.
Very single. Yeah.
You are not ready to mingle.
Not even a little bit. Actually, somebody asked me for my number, and I yelled at him. I was like, what are you doing? Why are you talking to me? It was very, very aggressive.
Did they respond?
He was like, all right, well... It didn't go great.
Why are you no longer in a relationship? Yeah. Is it your choice or is it his choice?
I have no idea. It is my choice.
That's wonderful.
Because this is recorded, it is now on the internet forever. It was my choice. I didn't.
That's right.
It's all on me. I'm an independent woman.
Fantastic.
Yo, it sucked. No, it was my choice.
Okay.
Paper guitar.
Audio podcast.
Yes.
Okay.
I know.
do you want to talk about what the final straw was?
No.
Okay, fantastic. Mm. What else has been going on in your life since we last recorded?
So I've been making a lot of interesting decisions. I might be sick right now.
Great. That's fantastic. Thanks for talking to a microphone. How are you almost sick?
So here's the thing. I have a cool new job that just happens to have hot dogs at it all the time. If you follow me on the Twitter machine, I have hot dogs as my background for the past several years. What? You didn't know that hot dogs was going to be a part of the story, did you?
No.
Yeah, surprise.
Why are you adjusting the guitar strap on the cardboard guitar?
It's hot up here and there's like paper guitars and shit everywhere. Okay, it's gone. Bye. So, there's hot dogs there all the time. And somebody's like, hey, do you want a hot dog? And I'm like, yeah, no questions asked. How long has it been there? I have no idea. This hot dog is cold. This hot dog looks weird. Who else bit into this hot dog? All these questions should occur to somebody else, but they don't occur to me. So I ate this hot dog, and then this girl was like, yo, I might be kind of sick. Do you want to hit this vape pen? I was like, love vaping. And also, do you want this hot dog? I was like, love hot dogs. So, and also, like, little context to the person who I also shared a hot dog with and a vape pen. Probably about 20 minutes before that, she comes up to me, she says, girl, my boobs hurt. I was like, all right, cool. I was like, you know what? I was like, is it your birthday? And she goes, no, it's not my birthday. I was like, well, I read in Highlights for Kids, if it's your birthday and your boobs hurt, you know, that's like a thing. And she was like, are you serious? So like,
am I supposed to respond? Is that rhetorical?
That's ridiculous, right?
That is ridiculous.
That's a ridiculous thing. But yet I was like, yo, I trust you enough to share a hot dog with you. I trust you enough to share a vape pen with you. And I wonder why I'm sick today.
You're an adult in your 30s.
You say that.
But you have the diet and smoking habits of like a 14-year-old boy.
I do, but I do a lot of squats.
You do a lot of squats.
I do a lot of squats.
Is that your
preferred? My cakes are everything.
I can't comment.
I don't know if you guys can see this on an audio podcast, but my ass looks fantastic.
How many squats did you do today?
Not enough.
How many do you usually do?
At least 200.
At least 200.
Yeah.
Cool.
I am really good at squats.
That's pretty impressive.
Squats and lunges.
Do you do sit-ups?
Yes.
How many sit-ups do you do?
I don't know. Like, I take classes.
You take classes?
Yo, Vita. Do you guys go to Vita? The bougie gym?
The answer is no.
No. Okay.
I love Vita.
I love Vita too.
I've never felt more overweight than when I've gone to Vita.
I've never felt more like I just need to get my life. Like even when you feel like overweight, there's always a sauna you can go sit in and cry.
I'm not going to do that at Vita. For those listening at home, Vita is known lovingly as the gay gym.
It is.
They have the best products in the showers.
Oh my. They do.
They do.
They do. They have the best conditioner.
I speak from experience. I know Vita.
It's great.
Here's my biggest problem with Vita. Their mirrors aren't, you could see like around them.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So if I'm washing my hands, I could see the other person washing their hands, and that freaks me out.
You know what's funny is that you said there's a problem with Vita, and I didn't compute that whatsoever.
Have you ever used the solo pool thing, where the lap pool?
No.
Okay.
No, because I feel like people pee and have sex in it.
I don't think they do. They have pee and have sex everywhere else but the lap pool. Which Vita do you go to?
All the Vitas.
Oh, you have, that's how it works?
I feel like I've been in D.C. for, 5 years now as of July?
Okay.
I feel like I'm in my 30s. I'm a woman. I do things, and I deserve to go to all the Vitas.
That's fair.
All the saunas are my saunas. All of the soap is my soap.
Do you take cycling or spin at Vita?
Yes, I do.
Do you like the light situation? Because for those that are listening or have never been to Vita, you switch gears based on the light in the room.
Yes, you do.
It's jarring.
So my trainer is also my cycling person, and I call them the cheater bikes or tattle bikes because it tells on you when you're not actually pedaling, which I don't know like if SoulCycle, like they tell on you.
I've only been to Flywheel.
Oh.
This has become the bougiest, assholest podcast we've ever done.
That's fair.
I'd like to apologize for everyone.
Also, we're ripped.
I wish. I've definitely gained... you've lost weight in the last month. I've definitely gained weight in the last month.
That's what being angry does to you. Yo, I've been angry and eating pasta, and it's been great.
I don't understand why any black woman would be angry right now. It just doesn't compute.
Not even a little bit, right? Because America's perfect. I'm respected every fucking day. And nobody's afraid of me on the street. You know what was fun this summer? I was wearing a head wrap because I was like feeling my Nefertiti. I was feeling all my black oats. I was like, yo, I'm going to wear a head wrap this summer. I'm going to be black as fuck. I scared so many people. I was like, yo, I thought y'all were woke like last month. What happened?
I'd like to point out that Allison and I went to 311 together.
We did!
You wore that head wrap.
I did.
You didn't get any looks.
No.
You just got acceptance.
They were there like, yo, because 311's down for the unity.
Yeah, they are.
311 is down for the...
You and I are the only ones down with 311 right now. We know our crowd. Thank you for being here. I understand
that
you're not enjoying this thus far. We're going to hopefully get you there.
Maybe.
It's a big baby.
And if there isn't, there's still a bar.
Bar's open throughout the show.
Yes.
Drink and tip heavily. What's your go-to drink right now?
Mostly free shit, but if it's not free, Campari.
Allison is a wonderful person. I had to go to Chicago a few times last month, and she was kind enough to wash my cats.
I did.
You're the only person I know that drinks vermouth.
I love vermouth.
Just vermouth.
That's because I'm also a bartender.
We had to restock our vermouth.
You're
because
fucking
of you.
Kidding me.
No.
Sorry.
No, it's wonderful. It's the weirdest thing we've had to restock. I was like, oh, the expensive scotch? Nope, vermouth.
Vermouth. Yeah.
Okay.
Vermouth is a go-to. I mean... It's just enough like of a high proof alcohol spirit. I like a glass of wine, but I want something just like a little bit more of a punch to it.
I like this because vermouth is way cheaper than anything else. So thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I will now be serving that to company.
Yeah. Vermouth is great.
I got nothing to add to that.
I don't either. Vermouth is fantastic. There's not really much more to say.
I like your outfit tonight.
Thank you.
I liked your lip. It's gone.
It's gone because I ate a hamburger or three.
Oh, you got the mini burgers.
Yeah, I did. Sliders.
Those are mini burgers. I'm not drunk. I haven't even had a drink yet. I sound a little tipsy. That's not a good sign.
No, it's not.
Too bad we have guests coming up. Okay.
Can't wait.
Let's bring our first guest up. She's a senior politics editor at Yahoo News. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Grants Frankie Root, everybody. Grants!
Yay!
You'll sit here. She'll move. I'll move there. This will be your microphone. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you for doing this.
I was at that same Barack Obama party you were at.
In 2004?
Yeah.
Is it the Hilton or whatever? It was downtown Chicago.
Somewhere in downtown Chicago. I had just been following him around southern Iowa for a couple of days. I mean, southern Illinois.
Yeah. Southern Illinois sucks.
A lot of corn.
It sucks. Here's the good thing about being from Chicago. You're not really from Illinois. The rest of the state is garbage. Burn it down. No, I stand by that. Chicago's wonderful.
I'm from New York. I couldn't possibly comment on any of those.
Yeah, you can. New York's pretty cool as a state. We're not. Illinois is garbage, except for Chicago and its suburbs. And Indiana as a state is the worst state. Thoughts?
I don't know that I've been there.
You haven't been to Indiana?
I think I skipped that one.
That's a good call. You've been in...
I have a few gaps. Alaska and Indiana.
Those are your gaps? I get Alaska. I understand that completely. That's near Russia. But the other one... Not so much. Okay, so you've been in D.C. for 20 years.
I have. I'm a lifer.
Is that too long?
It might be.
Okay. What brought you here? I think I know the answer.
I mean, it's the same reason everybody comes to D.C. You have a job, you have an internship, you got out of college, blah, blah, blah. I had an internship, and then I got a job.
Yeah. So you were here when it wasn't like this.
It was not like this. Although Wonderland Ballroom actually is a lot more like old D.C. than you would imagine, than a lot of other places.
I like that. Do you like that?
The new DC?
No, the Wonderland Ballroom. And how it's more like old DC.
I haven't been here in a while.
Okay, cool. What a diplomatic answer. I did something I always regret doing. I was reading one of your pieces, and then I accidentally scrolled down and I read a comment.
Oh, don't do that.
So are you ever encouraged to read the comments?
No.
Okay, have you ever read a comment on anything you've ever written?
I read comments sometimes. When I worked at The Atlantic, I read the comments. I read every comment.
Why?
Because the commenters there were so smart, and we had this really great commenting software that for some reason, it repelled the kind of drive-by insulting comments that you get with some other kinds of comment software.
So I will ask the question that everyone asks in 2017. What happened, but in reference to comments? Because... you're at Yahoo News now. It is not policed.
No.
No, it's garbage.
I think the comments there are supposed to be community rated, or people rate each other's comments. And I think it's an issue of scale at Yahoo, the comments. It's a very, I mean, the scale at Yahoo is insane. Basically.
Yeah.
When I started working there, it's almost like you're just working for the internet.
Does it feel like you're just working for the internet right now?
Well, right now it feels I'm like working for Yahoo News, which is a little corner of the internet, but the scale there is enormous.
Do you know how many people read your stuff? Do you get those numbers?
I can get them. I don't always get them.
Yeah. Do you ever want to know?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm curious.
What's the difference? What's the biggest difference between Atlantic and Yahoo News?
I mean, The Atlantic is America's, I think, oldest continuously publishing magazine. It was founded as an abolitionist magazine in Boston before the early days of Civil War. And
so it doesn't seem very in vogue right now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're still debating the Civil War, honestly. And they did have a big special issue on the 150th anniversary where they republished some of the greats, you know, who had written for The Atlantic back in the day. You know, when you have people who, you know, write like Uncle Tom's Cabin and so on. Louisa May Alcott was like, I'm getting my authors confused. But, you know, people who had written for back in the day.
Did you think we'd be having that debate right now?
This debate right now?
Not like on this stage, but I mean like as a nation. And I shouldn't even say debate. I should say talking point.
You know, the night Obama won the election, and I at the time lived right next to U Street, and I was, you know, working till 2 in the morning. I was at the Washington Post at the time, you know, and then like we all got to leave the newsroom finally at 2 in the morning, walked down to the White House. It was like this flood of people outside the White House, you know, singing and dancing and drumming, which I thought was really amazing. And then walked back up 14th Street to 14th and U, which was like the center of all the celebrations, where you had the hipsters and the African-American community and the African immigrant community all coming together in that area, and people standing on bus station stops and dancing until, you know, the wee hours. And I was like, this is, it felt to me like the Civil War finally ended. That was what I thought that night. And I was so wrong.
Yeah. You were wrong.
Yeah. I was optimistic.
Last week, maybe 2 weeks ago, you wrote about the Me Too campaign.
Yes.
Is any of this shocking to you, be it the amount of people that responded to it or the actual outcomes of the campaign?
It is not surprising to me, I suspect that it's not surprising to any woman that the stuff is pervasive. It's on the street, it's in your workplace, it's wherever you go, your whole life, basically. Since I was a teenager, I actually have this thing that in my mind, I sometimes re-describe what's happening with these situations where when I go running, I have what I call my cheering section.
Okay.
And my cheering section has been with me since I've been a teenager, whenever I go running, and it's in every city. And it's the guys on the street who are like, yeah, oh, shake it or whatever, you know? And they make a running commentary, but, you know, if you just think of them as like guys who are really enthusiastic about you working out, like, it's my cheering section. They just really want me to be healthy.
So you're saying, as a woman, it's men are never in the wrong because they're saying, yay for you. So we should keep doing this is what you're advocating for more catcalling.
You know, everybody has their own strategy of dealing with it, and that was mine.
I was going to say, that is probably the best way to think of it as your cheering section, because the same day that the Me Too thing happened, a gentleman yelled at me as I was leaving the gym, which I should have used this as a cheering section, except for he told me he wanted to suck my soul out of my asshole, and I didn't know how to make that a positive. There you go.
Yeah, that's like the opposite.
Please respond.
It's like the opposite of a cheering section. Yeah. And then there's like the smile shamers. You know, like you walk down the street, they're like, smile, smile. Or give me a smile, or smile, baby. You know, they always want you to smile at them.
Here's a fun question. How often have you been harassed by lawmakers and or their staff? I'm not asking you to name names, unless you want to.
I have never been harassed by a lawmaker.
Staff?
not domestically.
Okay. So you're saying it's fun to travel?
I'm saying that reporting is even more complicated overseas when there is a little bit of a cultural gap in terms of, you know.
Sure.
Everybody thinks American women are easy, first of all. Because, you know, compared to many other parts of the world where women's roles are much more restricted, we probably are. And, you know, and I think sometimes people, you know, you ask someone for a drink because you want to talk to them about something and they get completely the wrong idea.
You've been doing this for a while.
Yeah.
Are you glad you're still doing it? Because a lot of people, they just kind of stop after, they burn out. It's a job that's really difficult to do. Are you still glad you're doing it?
You know, I think the important thing is to just to keep changing what you're doing within the broad spectrum of journalism. I mean, you know, you talk to writers and everybody loves having written. Nobody really loves like the process of writing so much itself. And everybody loves reporting. And reporting is what gets people into it. And so reporting is still a ton of fun. And I think right now for me, I'm not covering the Trump administration on a day-to-day basis. And there were other people who were doing that and they're really into it and they're so excited and they're so happy and I am so happy for them.
Sure, sure.
That they're happy to do it.
Did the outcome of the election change your point of view from your job? Do you feel like it's more important, less important, the same? Has it changed anything for what you do day-to-day?
I have been in situations where people are like, thank you for being a journalist. I said, this is really weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that happened in D.C. and New York.
Yeah.
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 What do your parents think of what you do?
You know, they're into it. I'm actually third generation journalist on both sides.
Wow.
Okay.
My grandfather was actually on one of the very early episodes of Meet the Press when it was still a radio show.
That's cool.
Yeah. I got a picture of one of the people who worked there went in their archives and found a picture of it and sent it to me once.
Is that how they met? Your parents?
No, my parents, they met in like London at a dinner party.
That's so fucking cool.
My parents were much cooler than I was.
Why aren't you as cool as your parents? What happened? Okay, fair enough. That came off as an insult. And it wasn't meant to be. Is it working now?
There we go. Yeah. I think I just pressed the wrong button.
What's a recent story in the past month that you really wish got more play?
I think on a day-to-day basis, it's so hard to remember all the crazy things that happened yesterday. And if you add them up at the end of a week, I don't know. I just feel like everything is washed out so quickly because there's such a huge amount of news coming at everybody, and excuse me, and so many different stories about the Trump administration and this, that, and the other thing, and so many violations of historic American political norms on a daily basis. I just think there's everything gets play for a day, and then it's on to the next thing.
Do you see that changing? Is there any way to change that?
Not at the pace things are happening.
So how do you not get discouraged? Because I feel like at this point, being a journalist, it's you have a lot of compromises that you have to make as far as, like, I want people to read what I'm writing. I think what I'm doing is important. But I also, how do you navigate the internet? You said you still work for the internet, or you feel like you're working for it. How do you navigate not getting discouraged in this, like, political climate and the way that we are receiving information?
I mean, I really like social media. At the same time that I'm critical of it, I enjoy the sort of flood of information. And in terms of the general stories, I think, you know, it is an exciting time to be a journalist. You know, there's a lot of stories. So there's that.
So that's the final question I want to ask you. I've been asking every single writer I know. Is social media good? And if you could delete your online presence, would you? Clearly, I think it's no for you. You like it.
I mean, it depends. I enjoy Twitter, but I keep the rest of my social private.
Sure.
And I considered having a public Facebook page for a while, and I set one up, and then I just deleted it because I didn't want to moderate comments. I was like, I have enough work.
Sure. But then why do you gravitate towards Twitter? Just because of the flood?
You know, I studied Latin in college, and I had, like, this fantasy that I could one day be an epigrammatist and write, like, really short, pithy things like they did in, you know, in ancient Rome. But it wasn't...
So you're just like a normal Twitter user is what you're saying. You like it for the same reason as everyone else.
Yeah. It's just, it's good for people who like to say, like, one thing and then get out.
Shouting in the dark is my favorite, too. Twitter.
Yeah, I get it. It's should be destroyed. We should burn it down. Thank you for doing this. Where can people follow you?
They can follow me online at the Garance, which is my Twitter handle, and they can follow me on Yahoo News.
Go to Yahoo. Okay.
Yahoo. You've heard of it.
Your name. Actual last question. Your name is so unique. What's the origin?
It's French, German, Italian.
Okay.
So my joke is that it's like something put together by a Brussels committee.
There you go.
Yeah.
My name is Brandon.
And where is that from?
A book my mom read when she was pregnant. There was a name book. Brandon. Thanks for doing this. Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Garance Frankenrude, everybody. Thank you. You were wonderful. Thank you. I hope I am not objectifying in you in any way. I love the fucking gel heel you got there. That's a see-through heel.
Yes.
It's a neon green thing. I don't think everybody saw it. It pops. It's good. It's a compliment. I hope I'm not objectifying you. My third favorite sport is Project Runway. So I'm just saying... Number one is Major League Baseball. Number two is RuPaul's Drag Race. Number three, Project Runway. Well, next time we'll talk about that. That was fun.
That was.
Don't talk into that.
I'm holding it down here. I hope that germs don't.
We're sharing a mic because she is under the weather, and I don't want you to be under the weather. Yeah. Hi.
Hey.
Michelle, you ready to do this? She writes for the website Curb DC. She is its editor. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Michelle Gauthier, everybody. Michelle. Michelle, what's the origin of your first name?
Oh, it's actually not my first name. My first name is Amanda, but I go by my middle name.
Why? Amanda is a beautiful name. Michelle's
Thank
a beautiful
it's
name.
True.
My name is Brandon. Okay, sorry. Why do you go by Michelle? Nice to meet you.
I changed my name when I was in, like, 11 years old, and now it's too late. I can't change it back. My
Fun.
Family was very accommodating, maybe too much.
I can't tell if you're doing a JK right now.
A JK? No, it's true.
Really?
Yeah.
You changed your name at 11 years old?
Yeah, I was like, you know what? I'm gonna be a different person. I'm a better person. I'm Michelle, and you know, that totally changed my life.
Hold
look
on.
Look at me now.
Were there other options? I know there were,
perhaps,
but like, were you thinking of other options?
No, you know, I like my middle name. It's good.
What drew you to Michelle? Was it the Beatles song? Was it Full House? What was it?
It was my legal name.
Fantastic. Okay. You're the editor of Curbed.
Yes. Curbed DC.
To my knowledge, is not owned by a benevolent billionaire.
I don't believe so.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, a good guy.
I wouldn't say that.
I like him.
I'm not saying good or bad. I'm just saying not a benevolent billionaire. In other words, you write a lot about property and stuff like that.
So in case you don't know about Curb DC, it is a real estate and development blog based here in DC and owned by Vox Media, and that's Vox with a V, not an F. And
yeah, not yet.
No. And so I just write about how DC's growing and changing.
And the reason why, clearly I brought that up for a reason, but this is what I want to talk about. This is from your April 17th, 2017 article, "For Millennials, Is Living in Washington, D.C. Worth It?" And really, the crux of the article is maybe not. It's probably because it's more difficult to be a parent or homeowner. And
yes.
I want to read the second and the last paragraph that you wrote. Simply put, Washington, D.C. is not and maybe will never be a small city. What this means, as bluntly stated by the Washington Post, is that the millennial boom is over. So, where does that leave the district? What needs to happen for developers to keep millennials in the district? What needs to happen for developers to keep millennials in the district is to construct housing that will appeal to the values of those who are trying to build a family. Good schools, low-cost housing, and more space. So my question is that even possible?
It definitely is. I mean, the problem with D.C., first of all, I love D.C. So what does it mean for there to be a problem? Well, we all know that D.C. is very expensive. It is actually the fifth most expensive U.S. city for renting in. Underneath New York, San Francisco, I think San Jose, and maybe, did I already say Boston?
You did not say Boston.
And Boston. So already our mayor, Muriel Bowser, is already focusing on investing over $100 million into just preserving and creating affordable housing. And for us to be able to help people want to stay here, and also people who were born and raised here to be able to stay here, we need to make sure that there's a balance. DC's changing every single year. DC from 10 years ago is a different city. DC 10 years from now is going to be a different city. And we need to make sure that the people who want to stay here have the ability to do so by making sure that there's not only luxurious housing, which, you know, whatever, but that there's housing that normal, typical people can afford.
So what are your thoughts on The Wharf?
So for people who don't know, The Wharf is a $2 billion mile-long development in the Southwest waterfront. There are three new music venues. There are, I think, two or three new hotels. There's a condo building and, I think, two apartment buildings. I'm always excited. I'm always excited by new things. But it's sad that there are people here in this city who were born and raised here who are feeling like they're getting pushed out. I think that we need to find a way to balance this new development and these new things with affordable housing.
Is there any neighborhood that's actually doing this and is doing it well?
So there might be some disagreements about this because it's been a weird shift in this one DC neighborhood, and everyone knows this neighborhood, and that's Shaw. There is some housing that is very expensive there. Like, there's a two bedroom there that's $7,500 a month. Who can afford that?
Wait, where is this?
It's in the HOLM. It's in the home residence, you know, on Rhode Island. Astounding.
That's actually right next to my old house, so it has rats.
Yes. So Shaw is definitely a neighborhood that has been changing immensely with, you know, Dacha, which is a very popular...
It's beer prison number two. No, yeah, beer prison number one is on 14th. Beer prison number two is on 7th. Beer prison is a term that I use with no affection about places where people want to drink outside, even though they don't need to drink outside. There's actual bars. There's a gate. It's a beer prison. You don't. You like that place? If you do, I apologize immensely. I go to Ivy and Coney. I go to the Wonderland Ballroom. I like places that maybe smell a little bad, is what I'm saying.
I like the Wonderland Ballroom.
Thank you so much. I don't own it. Don't worry about it.
But yes, so Shaw is definitely a neighborhood that is hardly recognizable nowadays. But as it's been growing, Mayor Bowser has been investing in more and more developments in the neighborhood to create affordable housing. For example, I'm gonna get this wrong, but I'm gonna do
great.
My best. I think it's called the YWCA building, the Phyllis Wheatley building. They are renovating it right now for millions of dollars in order to help it create more affordable housing.
Is that the one on 14?
It's the one that's on Rhode Island.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a couple blocks. I think it's 11th in Rhode Island.
Cool. That'll really translate on the audio podcast. So it's great that you care about this stuff, clearly. But I'm guessing that's not the stuff that brings the most traffic to the website.
It can.
Can it?
It can. I mean, in the end, people care so much about this city, and that's one reason why I love this city so much, is that people care about housing, because that, in the end, affects all of us.
Sure. But if I could look at a bunch of photos of a mansion I'm never going to step inside, I'm probably going to look at that post rather than just read something and be sad.
Honestly, when I write about... So I write about houses on the market, I write about new apartment and condo buildings getting built. And usually when I write about a house, and usually, honestly, the houses that I write about don't get as much traffic as a building. Like, I wrote about how in Petworth, there's this really famous mural of, oh, what's his name? I feel Chuck Brown.
Yeah, the one on Georgia?
Yes.
Yeah.
There's a mural of Chuck Brown, and there were plans to demolish it
really
for
quick.
A condo building.
You don't want to editorialize this, I will. That mural fucking sucks. Here's why. They have a guitar. They gave it 5 strings. Guitars have 6 strings. Unless you're in Korn, then there's 7. That's not how guitars work. That's why I don't like the mural. Continue. I apologize.
But that when I wrote about how there are plans to tear down that mural, there was more interest in that article than about an article about, hey, this is the most expensive house in Brookland right now.
Where do you live?
I live in Brookland.
Cool. Do you like it?
I like it. It's a quiet residential neighborhood. Even though there are different universities there, the students are actually they tend to be very nice, you know?
Is that because D.C. is full of nerds?
Sure.
Party. Or lack thereof. How many posts do you oversee a day?
How many posts do I write 5 articles a day.
And then you edit the rest?
I do.
So how many do you edit?
It's usually it's just a blog, just me.
Sure.
But maybe I get like 1 article a month from another contributor, and usually they're awesome.
Are you tired of this yet?
I love it.
Great.
You know, I love being able to, the whole reason why I became a journalist is because I feel better, and I love investing in my community. And the way I invest in it is by learning about it. And the way I invest, and once I learn about it, all I want to do is just share it with the world.
Where are you from?
I'm from Woodbridge, Virginia.
Okay.
Oh my God, Prince William County, what's up? I'm from Bristow.
Oh, okay, so right around the corner.
Yeah.
But I was born here, so I'm still not technically a DC resident. I mean, I am a DC resident because I live here, but just because I'm born here doesn't mean I don't know.
You're from here, that's lovely.
Thank you.
You know what I like a lot about what you're saying is that you're not just using the blanket G word. You're contextualizing what people are just generalizing as gentrification and giving it some more context to it. So at least that's what it seems like you're doing at Curb. Is that correct?
I try.
Yeah.
I try.
So listen, we're both pro-gentrification. It's the best. Everything's for me. It should never change. I do love Whole Foods. You cover this city, so you have a unique perspective on it in terms of housing. What is something, besides affordable housing, what is something that other cities have that we need or could benefit from?
We could have more bike-friendly roads.
Really? That's what you're going to say, bike-friendly?
Yeah, that'd be nice. I
mean, okay.
Like, I live in Brooklyn, and we have the Met Trail, you know, I would never want to bike on North Capitol Street.
You don't like adventure?
you know, it's like we're building all these new developments without any parking, but we're not building the infrastructure to support the bicyclists that would support, that would you know, supplement this.
It's interesting that you said that, because I'm not from here. I think this is one of the most bike-friendly cities. And I've been hit in multiple cities on bikes. Don't worry. I think I've had a fair shake of this. It's not that bad in terms of bikes here.
Thank you.
I don't know. I mean, maybe, maybe not. I think we need batting cages. Thank you. Thanks, fellas. Hey, when was the last time you went to the batting cages? Have you ever been to the batting cages?
Years ago.
Did you have fun?
Sure.
Yeah,
yes.
They're great.
Yeah.
It's a good stress reliever.
That's true. I used to do softball with the Vox Media League.
You had a softball team?
Yeah, we have a softball team.
Where do you hit in the lineup?
Where do I hit? You mean like, what do you
in the order.
Oh, wherever they put me.
Party.
Yeah.
What position did you play?
I was as far in the outfield as they could put me.
So you're very good is what you're
saying. I could hit some dingers.
Hell yeah.
But other than that, yeah.
Here's why I'm anti-gun, and all guns should be melted.
What?
If you've ever hit a dinger in real life, you're like, why? I understand what power is. I don't need a gun. I'll hit dingers, and it makes you feel better.
All right.
What?
People are like,
talking about baseball bats.
We are talking about baseball bats.
I thought you were talking about guns?
Yeah, I'm anti-gun. I'm pro-baseball.
Okay.
It's fun. Have you ever hit a dinger?
This is very...
Have you ever hit a dinger?
It's going way white over.
I don't agree. Baseball's pretty...
Guns.
That is pretty... Yeah. Okay. I apologize for that.
It's okay.
What's one overlooked neighborhood in D.C. that you might consider moving to?
I love Columbia Heights, but I don't think it's overlooked.
No, it is not.
It's very popular. Let me think. Let me go through some of them, and then I'm going through each of them. I love H Street. It's not overlooked anymore. Very, very, I mean, we have like a Whole Foods over there. Yeah. Definitely not overlooked anymore. Let's see. I'm literally going through the map in my mind. I'm like, not that neighborhood. I don't know. Noma is like a brand new neighborhood that wasn't here 10 years ago. It didn't even have a name 10 years ago.
Is that good or bad?
But I don't know. You know what? I don't even know if I want to say that one because it's like, it's mostly condo buildings, and it's kind of boring over there, personally. What's an overlooked neighborhood?
You can say Anacostia.
You know what? I will say Anacostia. The people there are awesome. Every time I'm there, the people there are so, like, cool, and they always care so much about their community. They're always going to the community meetings. I love Capitol Hill. What is it called? The crab cakes over there. They have Capitol crab cakes over there, and then they're like. I like Anacostia.
We got to gentrify. That's what I've been saying for years. What?
No.
What? No.
No, let's just fix the vacant and dilapidated houses and keep it beautiful, you know?
No, I think we got to expand the wharf all the way to Anacostia.
No.
That's what this city needs. The Shins need more venues to play. You like the music of the Shins?
The Shins. I've heard the Shins, but I can't, like, it's been a while.
How old are you?
I'm 25.
That's a good age. What's a good age, Allison?
25 is great.
Pretty good.
I've been there.
I've been there too. final question I've been asking every journalist is, are you glad you're on social media? Would you delete it if you could?
You know, I think social media is very important because what's great about social media is people get to ask questions. And this question
should they be allowed to ask questions?
Of course.
No, here's why. That was what I'm a little bit older than you. That was one of the beauty of not social media. You just couldn't ask anybody everything. You had to figure out how to contact them. You had to figure out how to get into their orbit. It required more work and effort. And if you actually cared, you could easily do it. And if you didn't care, you couldn't just fire off an asshole tweet or post an asshole Facebook message. That's why.
You know, I liked this question you asked the previous
yes.
from Yahoo News.
Yes.
How you were saying, you know, do you read all the comments? And I always read all the comments because in the end, commenters they can be very vicious, but they can be very smart. Because in the end, when I'm writing about something like housing, I need to make sure that the people who are being affected are the ones who are being read and listened to.
Okay.
So.
And you're getting that from the comment. That's a nice thing to hear. And the opposite from most sites.
Sometimes like I can cry. Sometimes I'll be like, why are you so mean? But usually I'm just like, what you said makes perfect sense, and it's very fair, and I agree.
So what you're saying is comment on all of your posts, regardless of the content or the nature. Just say whatever you need to say about whatever, and I'm sure you'll be appreciative.
All right, yeah.
Okay, that was a lie. Okay, people could find you where?
So you can go to CurbDC at dc.curbed.com. That's CURBED.com. You can also tweet at me at GoldChainAM. That's M like Michelle. And if you want to talk to me afterwards, I'm here.
Is that your real last name?
Yeah.
That's a great last
name.
Thank
you, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
What's the origin?
It's Polish.
That's cool. You got any Polish jokes?
I was going to say I'm Polish, too.
That's a Polish joke. Are you Polish?
Not
you're not? You lied to me. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Michelle Goldstein, everybody!
Thank you,
Michelle.